All right. Welcome to Out of the Box, episode 4. I am so excited for tonight. I have my dear friend and son. I got to call him a friend. My friend and son, amen, pastor, evangelist, Brandon Martinez, amen, in the house, PB. I'm excited because we haven't had a sit down like this.
Ever.
Literally never. So I know I have some powerful questions that I want my son to answer today, and I know it's going to be awesome. So welcome to episode 4 of Out of the Box. Amen. A friendly conversation with my guests, friends, and family, and those who are coming through to share a godly, amen, message of hope, amen, of love, and, you know, just, you know, mentorship and what they've gone through and how they handled it and how God has blessed them throughout their journey. And I know it's going to be a blessing tonight. Amen. So I want Pastor Brandon to be transparent, although I'm your father. That's all right.
No, I plan on lying the majority of this.
I want you to be, you know, transparent, yeah. You know, and I want you to allow God to use you, because there are people in episode 1, 2, and 3, it was just organic,
amazing,
and people really were transparent and didn't hold anything back. And that's the most important thing, because I want people in this live podcast, amen, to really relate and be empowered and, you know, just for transformation to occur and for them to receive a breakthrough or revelation or hope in the midst of what's being shared today. Mm-hmm. Amen. So that's why I want you to come through, and I want you as a son, amen, of a pastor, PK, amen, because I've been through that. My father is also a pastor as well, so I know it's very difficult. There's a lot of challenges, a lot of things happen, and we have not been able to sit and talk about stuff like this. So I'm excited to be able to talk about, you know, your process and, yeah, and being a son of a pastor, mm-hmm, you know, the challenges, you know, at school, you know, you searching for yourself and what you want to become, and are you following my footstep? Where is God leading you? You know, all these questions and stuff, like, you know, that has happened in your career, in your season, mm-hmm, even choosing a career, all of those paths, you know. So I wanted one of the first questions, because I want to go straight into it.
Amen. Let's do it.
Let's do it. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's go. So I titled this one, The Call.
Okay.
Because I had a call over my life, mm-hmm, which is different than your call. And as a parent, as a father, I have to understand that what God wants for me is not the same thing he wants for you. That I have to pave the path for you to just love God, you know, being in relationship with him, you know, mentor you and guide you to Jesus. The rest he does. You know, although we have the same love and the same passion, God has different paths for each and one of us. Your call is not the same as mine. But I want to talk to you about the call, because it's very important, because you made that decision. So I want to get to the point. How did you make that decision to follow Jesus? Because I don't believe, and I don't remember ever imposing this on you, like, you know, down your throat and taking you like this to church. Never. I just believe that something occurred with you and God alone. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So now that I'm a dad, there's a lot of things that come more into perspective when it comes to this particular topic. For those who don't know, I have 2 girls at home. One just came home. God is good. And now that I'm a dad, it just helps me kind of like put puzzles, pieces together with a question like that. But growing up, you know, we attended church. You know, I got to watch you and mom in ministry. I got to watch you guys in private. And I think it speaks volumes for other parents who are listening today, the importance of leading by example. The Bible tells us to train up your child in the things of the Lord. And I think the results of a godly parenthood or a godly upbringing helped me in moments where I would watch you guys, I would attend church, I would be disciplined in that because of you guys. And then I got to have my own individual encounter, my own experiences with the Lord, and watching you guys, all those things came hand in hand for me. So there was no doubt that there was a God. There was no doubt in my mind as you know, as I was growing up, there was no doubt. And then I just started having my own encounters with him. So after that, you know, I just started to fall into that place of relationship with Christ. And that was also trained up by you guys and help counseling me and walking me through. I know there's plenty of times I would go to camps and conventions and stuff when I was 15, 16. I remember asking you guys like, oh, what does this mean? And I remember I would tell you like when I would feel the Holy Spirit, I'm like, I would feel like this wind in my, and you guys would be able to coach me and tell me, hey, this is what this is. And then show me kind of like the biblical aspect of that. So it was, it made the journey easier being trained up in the things of the Lord, because I was able to experience the Lord and then also have like something to fall back on, have a safety net when I would have moments of doubt or question or like, you know. So, yeah, I would say just having my own encounter with him, and that made me have the decision for for Christ.
That's good. Now, I have another question.
I'm ready.
As your father with such different way of leading people.
Okay.
Preaching the style and all of that, why do we still, or do we still mirror each other in some certain ways?
Oh my gosh, the older I get. Because
your mom says it all the time. At the beginning it was hard, but like to pinpoint those similarities, but they're there. 100%. Can you share a little bit? What do you think are those things?
There's a quote that says the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Yeah, I'm like a branch. Like we are, the older I get, I know there's moments where I'm like, either like talking to my kids or like just navigating through life, stewarding my life with my family. And I'm having internal dialogue. I'm like, gosh, you're just like your dad. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's not a good or bad thing. It's just we're related and, you know, you were my dad and you led me this. You know.
Well, you just say we're your dad. I'm still your dad. You know that, right?
No, but you called me a friend in the beginning of the podcast. So now I'm trying to figure no. Yeah, still my dad.
You're not adopted.
No, exactly. You know, Stephanie is. I'm not. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But no, really, it was we have so many similarities, but it's now more.
Yeah.
It's now more as I get older, mirrored.
Like, yeah, but you lead it in a different way.
Yeah.
And you reach different people that I would never be able to reach.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of that also comes from you helping with the confidence, putting confidence in that. Because there's been many times as I got older that you would remind me of that truth. You would tell me, you're going to reach others that I can't. You're going to go farther than I can. And that kind of mentality helped me as I'm now that I'm a father. I see my two children and know that this is an investment to the future. Mm-hmm. This is good leadership to pour into my children and say, hey, I want you to go farther than me. So like when that truth starts, you know, unfolding now of like we're in different places doing the same thing, it all comes back to the foundation that you helped lay down, saying like, I want you to go further. I want you to reach more, because at the end of the day, it's for the advancement of the kingdom, you know?
That's great. But saying that right now, so what, you know, taking advantage of what we're just talking about right now, what would you say to a father and a mother, a parent that has a teenager at home and is struggling or really want them to become like what you have become to me as a son and Stephanie, you know, a worshiper, and it was just born out of you and her. You know, it wasn't kind of like forced, but what do you recommend? What impacted you that you saw in this house that you think that would impact their children?
Yeah,
Is there something there that we can talk about?
For one word, consistency. I'll talk to the parents now. Consistency, because let's use scripture. The Bible says, in this world, you will find trouble, but take heart, for I have already overcome the world. Meaning, don't be surprised or derailed because you're having struggles in your parenting or struggles with your teenager, your half adult, your full adult, whoever your child is. Don't be surprised that they're struggling or you're having struggles in the parenting aspect, but remain consistent because your children, their children are watching everything. And eventually there will be a time where all that work that you've been doing, you're going to reap the harvest of it. Some faster than others, some in different times, but all in God's timing. So if I can encourage a parent there, I would say, don't give up on your children. Keep praying for them. The Bible tells us to pray without what? Ceasing. Meaning don't just cut off your prayer. Keep going until you see the victory. So I would just say to continue pouring into their life. Continue being an example in your home. That's because good. You can speak tongues in church and then badmouth your wife in private. And that inconsistency can take your kids for a whirlwind. I could tell you right now, watching you guys and your leadership in church was impactful, but it was more of a desire, man, I want what they have in private. that's the part that I said, okay. And I got to see your ministry ethic. I got to see how you guys, you and mom, stewarded yourselves, how you acted in front of people, how you extended a helping hand. All those different things kind of clicked with the Bible. So I would see what I'm seeing in church. I'm seeing what I'm seeing in private. And it helped me in tremendous ways. So parents, just be an example. Be consistent. Don't give up the race. Don't give up the fight. And you will see eventually the good works of the Lord being finished in your children's lives, for sure.
Yeah, that seed will never die.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do our best at home to prove to our children that we have really been converted and we really love God, we're not perfect, but we strive to become more like Christ, it will help. Just like you said, that consistency. Because I would tell you, you know, when have you seen that in our house? Mm-hmm. When you will come with some conflicts or something from school, and you saw in another home, and you know, some they were a little bit more liberal, or that's okay to do. And I'm like, no, not here, because of my character or how I was raised, you know, maybe it wasn't a bad thing, but it wasn't done in our house. And you saw that consistency of like, okay, you couldn't argue with that because you haven't seen it at home, right? I have another question here.
Before we go there, I also want to, for the young people that are watching this, there might be a young person watching this conversation and saying, well, I don't come from a good home.
That's good.
Right? Yeah. I'm the young person and my parents are not with Christ. My parents aren't. I want to take a second real quick, because you said it helped and it did, but the Bible doesn't need a crutch either. So God can still move, and you could be a door of opportunity, a window of opportunity for your family to come to Christ. So if you're a young person, you're saying, well, I don't have a father example of a godly father.
It's like the reverse.
But
right?
It's a reverse.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. And you have a heavenly father. You have a family in heaven. You have a brothers and sisters in Christ. You have a church community that can come together and watch your family become saved. So I just want to take a second also for...
I like that. You know, that's so true, because we can't be like become victims. You know, what can I do to become alive in my home as well? So the battle is heavy, but you can overcome it. I have a question that I wrote down here, and this one I have to read. It says, I wrote down Moses, and it was about Moses and Joshua. Mm-hmm. And I believe between you and I, this is me, this is mm-hmm. The Lord was revealing to me. Moses, I feel like I'm a Moses to you, right? Leading you, teaching you, and you're Joshua walking alongside me since you were a kid. But the generation of Joshua did not know of God, did not know of the miracles, and did not see that, you know, but Joshua did,
mm-hmm.
you know, so yeah. I'm limited. I experienced it, but then God moved me out because Joshua needed to reach a different generation. But it was an uphill battle for Joshua, because he's inheriting people, a young generation that... It's not, you know, that they don't want God, or it's just that the time frame that they were born or being raised, they didn't see those miracles, the dividing of the sea, the plagues, and the manna. They didn't have that opportunity to see it, but Joshua saw it. So he began to sow into them. And I see you in such a time like now as that Joshua.
Amen.
Dealing with people that never saw miracles, speaking in tongues, young people that have not had that encounter experience with the Lord. And it feels like an uphill battle, but God gave the victory and the land and the promised land to Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still available, but your job is to lead them to that, to those experiences that you had or you saw in Pentecost, you know, in the Bronx and these places. So,
yeah.
Although, the way evangelism can change, but certain core values do not change.
Yeah.
The prayers lifestyle, the mm-hmm. the commitment and the consecration, all of this, you can have a modern way to reach people, but all those core ways of empowerment and feeling the God's presence to lead you in his voice takes you to a different direction. Can you share something about that? What do you think about that?
No, I think there's a lot of Joshuas. I think it's definitely the time frame of the Joshua season, where the Moseses paved the way, you know, with their prayers, with their dedication, with their hard work, their blood, sweat, and tears. They paved the way, walking hand in hand, of course, with God. And they trained up their children. And now we're in a season where we're seeing the millennials arise. We're seeing a rise in a sense of leadership. You know, it's crazy, because then I go to like doctor appointments now, and I go to like different things. And now we're seeing millennials as... the doctors and like the, and I'm like, man, how old are you? And they're like 39, you know? And I'm like, gosh, you're just a few years older. You know, Omar, one of our mutual is becoming a doctor. And I'm like, wow, all these people becoming in places of authority and the jiu-jitsu system, you know, and just places. And now it's starting to sink in me that, you know, before it was a different time, a different generation. And now I'm seeing the forerunners are becoming the millennials. And now we're pouring into Gen Z. And eventually millennials will take a step back to be kind of the filters and the helpers and the pillars. And then Gen Z rises. So no, I totally agree with you. And I think it's goes back to how important it is to pour into the Joshuas so that it could keep us accountable and keep us, hey, remember what you saw, remember the foundation, remember the basics, because that is 100% true. We have so many modern ways to, like you said, evangelize. We have so much, we've made so much advancement in the kingdom of God collectively as a church. And sometimes we kind of stray away from the basics, the foundation of what it is to be in the pursuit of holiness, of righteousness, to have a prayer life, an authentic prayer life, to be scripturally, you know, to be in the word, to dive into the word. And we need Joshuas to kind of be the bridge.
That's right.
Like the advancement with the foundation, you know, the tree with the fruits. So no, I totally agree. And I'm excited for what God, I think everybody who's watching this has seen, you know, open heaven. God is up to something with his bride, with his church, and I'm just excited to be a part of it. And I think that encompasses everybody, you know, the baby boomers, the Generation X, you know, Generation Z, B, D, A, everybody, you know, he's doing something great. So
what, that's good. What do you see different? I remember you had the glory call. I remember you doing some great evangelistic revival services with young people. I remember pack house everywhere, and young people diving deep. Mm-hmm. Is there any shifting there? Do you see anything that changed from when you was a youth pastor and, you know, like dealing with the young people
100%.
Like 5 years ago to now?
I would say a greater hunger for spirituality.
Yeah.
Ironically. Because I know we're in this sensitive stage where it seems as a lot of people are deconstructing from faith. Young people are running away from church. But I feel like that's a lot of manipulation from media. Because if you look around, there are people who are hungry. Young people are a lot more accessible. No, I wouldn't even use that. Young people are a lot more, I can't find the word, susceptible to things spiritual, because they're involved with chakras. They're talking about affirmation. They're talking about astrology. I mean, they can't even go on a date without saying like, hey, what's your sign? Are you a Pisces? Are you a Leo? You know, they're talking about things spiritual, just not under the confines of Christianity. And somebody may look at that like, oh man, what an opposition. But no, that's an opportunity. Because before, to even get young people to a church building or to talk anything spiritual, like every conversation was surface level. But now there's a generation that's hungry. And the Bible says, for those who hunger for righteousness will be fed through him. So to me, I feel like their harvest is plenty. And we just need a lot of workers, a lot of Joshuas to hit the fields and give them, hey, I know you know about this. I know you know about this kind of spirituality, or you think that sage is bringing comfort to your home, or astrology will bring you your Boaz, your Ruth, and your Esther. But let me show you what spirituality is under the confines of Christianity, where there's actual authority.
Yeah.
You know, because the Bible says we wage not war against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, and kingdom of darkness. Meaning there's other things present in the spiritual realm, right? But the authority lies with Christ. So there's young people hungry for spirituality. Perfect. Come on in. Let me show you. Just like we talked about it in Chicago, the prophet, where he told all the prophets about, call out for your God. Mm-hmm. You know, keep calling out. Keep calling out. And he's not answering. Call him out. Tell him to answer by fire. Mm-hmm. But when the prophet of God rose, he called out for God. Fire consumed the land. So.
No, that's good. That's good. But do you think there is a lot still? Because I have these concerns. Do you think, though, and it's a good thing to get the young people in the church. I want them to come into the church. I'd rather have them, they say, I'd rather have you in the church than anywhere else, in a club or whatever. But do you think there's a lot in America, a lot of hype and not really transformation in people's life? That they sometimes they're getting, you know, being entertained versus transformation occurring in their life? what I'm saying is that they're in the church, but they still have not under leadership that is pushing them to change their former ways. Mm. Do you think you've seen that? Because I see a lot of that. I don't know, for some reason.
Yeah, I think with throughout time, throughout church history, there's been a lot of involvement of like emotionalism. And you also have other places where are more like motivated or inspirational rather than transformative. I think that's 100% true. And I think that's always going to be an issue without correct leadership, without correct doctrine, without true gospel, which, like you said, leads to transformation. But I think it also goes again with hunger. You know, some people are coming into the church motivated. So now my prayer is, okay, well, yeah, if they came in with the wrong intent,
seize the moment.
If they came in to meet their future wife, you know, especially with young adults and youth, half of them come to the church on youth group, you know, because they saw that one pretty girl, if you're real, you know, one pretty girl and, mm-hmm, and they show up to church and boom, the Holy Spirit hits them. They're like, whoa, what's this? So I think if we can continue to be mature leaders and be responsible for the harvest, when the harvest comes, no matter how they came, whether it was through this form or this intent, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit can do its work. God can do its work with them. And yeah.
That's good. Let me ask you this question. As a PK, a pastor's son, I felt like I had to carry two crosses.
That's funny.
Not just one cross.
Can you hold this one too? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got
you. Carry your cross and follow me. But then I had to carry the cross of my father, the cross of my mom, everybody. Yeah. It's like, as a pastor's kid, you're not only representing the gospel and Jesus, you're representing your parents and the cousins and everybody. No one wants you to fail. So the pressure is hard, mm-hmm, and it's heavy. The weight of ministry is heavy. The weight of bearing it is heavy because, you know, you don't want to be the cause for gossip for your parents or for your people, the dad or whoever is in leadership. So and sometimes you feel left behind or abandoned because parents are all about ministry. And I went through that because my dad, and he loved that. He was focused, and that's good. But there was no balance there. So when you guys were born, I was like, I want to do the opposite. I want to spend time with you guys. So balance it out, church and life. So, but there's a lot of young kids out there that are under leadership. Their parents are under leadership or pastorals, you know, in that level. And their children are being left behind and are lost and struggling. There could be one right now watching saying, you know what, I'm done with church because of whatever, you know, concerns they have with being ignored or the pressure of everybody looking at them and pointing them out and accusing them of this and all of the weight. Did you have any of that? Because you didn't speak to me about it, but did you go through that as my son and I'm a pastor? And you didn't tell me about. Was there any type of struggle or like decisions that you had to think about when you were gonna make because, hey man, the pressure is real?
I brought a notebook with I think 100 bullet points. So let me just go. No, I'm kidding. To be honest, I think a lot of it is perspective because at the end of the day, it's not a legacy thing, it's a Christ thing.
Come on.
Right? So sometimes we confuse the two and we say, well, the pressure's on because of the legacy of the family, or the family's known for such and such, or this family's is this, that, or the other. At the end of the day, it's a Christ thing. So if we can pour onto these young people to have a significant relationship with Christ, their own individual relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit does a great job at bringing transformation, conviction, and guidance, a lamp at the feet. So I would encourage, if you are a pastor and you have children, I would tell you to really continue doing what we said in the beginning of this conversation, being there for your children, being an open door, so having good communication, praying for them, laying them down a helping hand for that they can have a solid foundation with Christ. Because when they go through these thought processes and all these different intrusive thoughts that come from the pressures of being a PK, they can kind of navigate through that with the Holy Spirit. Because then they're going to do it on their own. And the Bible tells us, well, not by might, not by strength, but by his Spirit. So to be able to navigate through that, I think having a solid relationship is key. For me, my perspective kind of changed. Like, I've heard growing up like crazy. It's usually a joke, you know, in camps and conventions. Like, if you're a PK, you know, I feel bad for you, this, that, and the other. But what a blessing to be a PK. I've never heard people on stage or at camps and conferences growing up myself. It was always done in a negative aspect or a negative light. It was never like, oh, it's a blessing. Because if you think about it, my parents care. Mm-hmm. Not just about my well-being, but about the spiritual health. My parents care enough to, you know, there's plenty of parents right now where, which is, I talked to a friend of mine, Zach, who runs a Unashamed Club program for kids in high schools, in different schools. They have a Christian club. But the issue is some parents aren't Christian. So when there's an event or a prayer night or whatever the case may be, they don't have it in high priority to drop off their kids because they're saying it's just prayer. But then a PK knows, no, this is an opportunity. So I think really it's how you look at it. So I want to encourage all PKs out there, take a second to realize what you have. You have a parent that fears the Lord, that loves you so much so that they care for the health of your spirituality. They care for the salvation that has been freely given. So it's a lot of perspective things because I look back at my life, I'm grateful that you guys pray. I remember there's times where mom, we were transparent, right? Cool. Yeah. I would remember those times where mom would walk down the stairs, right? And I know mom's praying. And she would walk down the stairs and I would hear like the creaking of the stairs. And I'm in my room and I know she's either writing me a letter, right? Or she's like getting ready to give me a word.
I remember.
And those were, you know, oh my gosh, I would, you know, it was kind of nerve-wracking. But everything I needed, you know? So sometimes only time kind of reveals those things because then you look back and you're like, wow, I'm grateful for such and such. So I would just encourage somebody out there to realize what you have. And maybe there's parents, pastors who aren't doing it right. Maybe there are people who are putting unrealistic expectations or standards on a child or a person who's just trying to find their way with Christ. I would tell you to just be a helping hand. Be available for your children. They're the greatest investment on this earth that you're going to be able to give. They're the crowns. They're the jewels to your crowns.
Amen.
So have patience with the work that God is doing in them, you know, because time will eventually lead them
that is
to
awesome.
The right place.
So Stephanie's on fire for the Lord. She's doing all her thing for the Lord in the church and worship. Mm-hmm. And creatives and so many
killing
things,
it.
Man. Like, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And a social media influencer. You just got certified, right? Or verified.
Certified.
I keep saying certified, but it's verified,
yeah.
Right?
God is good, yeah.
Instagram, IG, mm-hmm. which is amazing. That's so hard to get. So congratulations on that. We're excited that our children are preaching the gospel and reaching thousands and millions of people through social media. Amen. So we honor you and we're so, so, so happy as parents that you guys are running with the gospel and with the truth of the gospel and spreading the good news Amen. Of hope, you know. And another thing, you've gone through hell in like these couple of months and stuff like that. We know with Wonder, mm-hmm. Adeline, and the process, and so many people pray, so many people gather in agreement with you guys. Amen. And look at the miracles that's in the house, man. How do you feel about that? Because, you know, like really quick, like I know you can talk 30 minutes about this, but really quick, can you say something to those who prayed and that gift, that miracles in the house?
Look at God.
Amen.
Look at God. No, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I am 100% understanding that how you respond can dictate so much of how you go through
it. So pause right there because that's where I wanted to go mm-hmm. because it's easy to like what they say on Sunday, it's easy to die. It's easy to surrender. It's easy to doubt. But to stay on fire and believe God and still fly to Chicago, different places and preaching while you're struggling with a sickness or you're struggling with a whatever situation you're struggling, you know, you're not just talking about it. You're living it. You're saying, you know what? I'm putting my faith not in the circumstance, but in God. So I'm going to do what I got to do in the midst of the storm. I always tell people we have to learn how to suffer. It's not that you're not going to suffer. The Bible says we will have trials and tribulation mm-hmm. in this world, but we will overcome because he has overcome. But at the same time, our attitude and our response will dictate the victory that we're going to obtain. So learn how to suffer successfully. Is that good. That while I'm suffering, I'm still enjoying life. I'm still believing God. I believe in the source on where my miracle is going to come from, that it's going to work out for the good of those who believe. That's me because I believe. But we press forward. We don't slow down. But it's very difficult to just say that. and have a child in the hospital that diagnosed that it's gonna die, it's not gonna make it, all this complications and heart and this and lungs and everything is negative, and then God begins to turn it around because the people gather together and begin to pray, right? And you, not only them praying, but you have faith enough, and your faith was demonstrated, and that's why people rally around you, and now everybody's celebrating because we know that only God was able to do that. But at the same Amen. Time, God is blessing your fruits and your labor of not holding back, not saying, not going against God and complaining and maybe cursing God out. And where are you now? Look at my life. I was born and raised in church. I'm seeking after you. I'm doing all of this. And this you allow in my house. But God is saying, this is only a miracle. This is like a testimony that is going to propel you to higher places. How do you feel about that? Do you believe that?
100%. Me and Nicole, my wife, when the news originally came out, we put ourselves in the same page. You know, we had our moment by ourselves, turned off the lights, put on some worship music, got some oil, began to pray. And we put ourselves in the same page and we said, okay, just like Job, naked I came into this world, naked I come out. So regardless of the end result, we've already received the greatest gift. We've already received 2,000 years ago on the cross, we received the greatest gift. And we're not following prosperity gospel where there's a promise to health, wealth, and success. We're following a Redeemer, a Christ who came and did the work and took our place. So in that moment in our home, in that, you know, very sensitive and you know, just such a life-changing moment, honestly, life-changing moment for us. I truly believe that how you respond can tug the heart of the Lord. And we were sold out to this idea where we talked to each other and we said, well, if she doesn't make it, to God be all the glory. If she does make it, to God be all the glory. But we have to stand on what we preach.
And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whether he saves us or not,
we'll see her in heaven, you know? And
Amen.
And I say that now, and it seems like it comes out the tongue very smooth. And I don't want to give a false interpretation like that. This was easy. This was not easy by far, you know, to submit the life of your child in the hands of the Father. But who's better hands?
Come on.
Then the one that gave me life to begin with, that woke me up, Let's that woke go. My wife up, that has put a roof over our head, food on a table,
breath you breathe
the breath that we breathe. So to me, that, yeah, I would say, like, the to watch the power of prayer with everybody coming together, and we saw churches from Puerto Rico, from different states, and all invested in, like, we want to see this, and for God to fulfill that, it was. Amazing. It will always be something we look back at and say, okay.
And I know that you're going to be sharing some stuff soon, mm-hmm. you know, social media and all the people that follow you.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to see, because we get a front row mm-hmm. view of what God has done in that process of faithfulness. Yeah. And right after the miracle happens, God begins to open all kinds of doors.
Yeah.
Like, it's like once you pass the test and you will weather the pressure and the temptations and all the doubts, and you overcame all of that, both of you guys, all of a sudden everything began to, like a dominoes, begin to line up. Sometimes the enemy tricks us to not believe God, and then everything falls apart. But if we continue to hold on in the promises of God, then we will see the glory of God. And then we will go from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's when people start hearing or begin to hear the details of what God did in the middle, in silence.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, behind closed doors. Yeah. And you don't get not even a mm-hmm. glimpse, not even a little bit of a sign that he's working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he's silent, but he's doing something, where you cannot hear anything, but or get any prophecy, any confirmation. And you're saying, God, where are you? But then you say, you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, I don't hear you right now, but I'm going to preach tonight. I don't hear you right now, but I'm going to go deliver somebody. I'm going to hear you, but I'm going to pray. You know, and then all of a sudden, God gives you like a whole package. Not just like what one thing that you were praying for. Let me show you what I have been doing while you were pressing forward, and maybe, you know, asking to hear my voice. I feel that for you, and I'm so happy and excited for what God is doing. Thank you for sharing all of this today. Now, what would you say to someone that is, I always end this way. What, look at that camera. What would you say to someone, a young person, somebody in ministry that, you know, or maybe a son of a mom that, you know, struggling with church, and you gone through all those seasons, you know, and now look what God has done in your life. You know, you you're a social media influencer, you know, algorithm for Jesus. All of that is happening, but even people, strangers sponsoring you, all the equipment that you have, that you took a leap of faith and said, you know what, I want to do this for God, and God sponsor you. You know, that is amazing. And then you can see the fruits of the growth in there too. All of this stuff being, one of the things that I always taught you and Stephanie was that if God gives you something for something, use it for that something, because you need to be faithful in the little and God will give you the much, the bigger stuff, you know. And you guys have learned that and have put it to the test, and look what God has done. So I'm also proud of that, because you know, we need to do everything with integrity, and you have, yes, done it with integrity. Amen. And people think there's an easy way, and they got a 2 minute or 1 minute word, and they think that God is going to take them from glory to glory. No, it's consistency.
Yeah,
it's commitment. It's that God discerns and look at your heart. If your heart is 100% pure, it's not clean, if your heart is all about, really about numbers, about followers, because you got a million something followers.
You ask because you have not, because you ask not, and to ask with correct motives, he tells us.
Yeah. So you know, where are those people that, you know, and I would love for everyone that's out there listening to be that way. Your character has to be all for the glory of God. Whether there is one person in the church or 500 came, it doesn't matter. I'm not motivated by the crowd or by the numbers. I am motivated by being obedient to the call. So we operate not by how many followers that we have. We will give the same message to one
100%,
and to a million.
100%.
And when you have a heart like that, God will open the sea in half, amen, and begin to give you and provide manna when you need it. I just believe that. So encourage somebody right now that is listening, struggling in ministry. It might be young like you, and you know, maybe have, you know, strong parents. And what can you say to them in closing?
I would say to keep the faith. There is nothing that says this world can offer you. There is nothing that this world can offer you that will ever satisfy what you're trying to satisfy. Although it may get hard, the Bible teaches us that in trials and tribulations to take heart, because it produces perseverance. It produces something. So if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a desert, just know that God is with you. And there is nothing greater, no treasure greater than to hold fast on your faith. Don't waver in your faith, but finish the race. Keep going. And if you can't find rest and you're struggling and it feels like the world's weight is on your shoulders, the Bible also tells us to find rest in Him. Those who labor and are heavy laden, to find rest in Him, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Yoke tells us that cattle enter into a wooden block, two cattle, and they start lifting the weight that initially one cattle would do on its own. When we invite Christ into our life and we do this life with Him, He enters into that second slot, and it's not like the weight changed, the help changed. Now you're walking with Christ. So if you're feeling lack of rest, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling like quitting, find rest in Him. Run to Christ, because He will help you make your burden easy and your burden light. So I just want to encourage you today to keep the faith. There's nothing greater, and God wants to do amazing things with you, not only save mankind, but He wants to partner with mankind. So I want to encourage you today. Beautiful. Follow Christ, finish the race, and see all that He wants to do through your life.
Now that's amazing, beautiful. I want you to say a prayer now.
Really, okay, quick, yeah, like for sure,
1 minute prayer. 100% for salvation, 100%. Someone that's listening. I mean, the podcast is reaching a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. It's doing awesome.
Literally reaching some people in the YouTube. Mm-hmm. They can go to YouTube, Out of the Box 941. They can see it in Facebook, all of this stuff. And people might watch it a week from now. And they searching and looking for hope.
Yeah.
And this theme probably blesses them. So say a prayer for them really quick, you know, as we close.
Yeah, I'll pray for them and then do salvation right after.
Yeah. All
right. Father God, Lord, I just thank You for every viewer who is watching this, Lord. And I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that they may feel Your presence, the blanket of peace over their home, over their cars, wherever they're watching this right now, Lord. I pray that You would touch them in such a way that will mark them for the rest of their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would place in them Your Holy Spirit as they receive salvation today in the name of Jesus. I pray that those who watch this will come to the cross, will will come to you. For those who have backslidden or who have taken a few steps back away from you, Lord, I pray right now that they would feel the conviction from you to run back to you. And like the prodigal son, Lord, let them understand that there will be a celebration in heaven when they return. Lord, I thank you for your plans over our lives, Lord, because your word says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can conceive what you have prepared for those who love you, Father God. So those who are watching this screen who love you, Lord, you have good plans for them, not plans to harm them, but plans to prosper them in the name of Jesus, Lord. For those who are burdened and heavy laden, let them find rest in you, Lord. Lord, let them experience an encounter right now, Father God, that lifts the weight over their shoulders, and it's an undeniable encounter with you, Lord. I pray that it marks their life so that they look back at this day years from now and said, I watched this video, I felt God in this video, and I never looked back. I ran the race until the very last lungs in my breath. For those who are watching this and don't have Jesus, I want you to have this opportunity to raise your hand right there where you are. Put the phone down, put your screen down for a moment, just hear the sound of my voice. And I want you to lift up your hands right there where you are. There is no greater decision than to follow Jesus. He loves you no matter where you come from, no matter what you have done. He has paved the way. He has paid the cost for your life. Every sin he cast to the sea, and he himself doesn't remember. Whatever the enemy has told you that you're too far gone is a lie from the pit of hell. Today you can be saved. Today you can receive salvation and have your name written in the book of life to spend the rest of eternity with Christ. This is your opportunity. There's nothing crazy you have to do but to confess his name, to confess that he is God, he is the Redeemer, and he is your Savior. I want you to repeat after me with your hands lifted. Father God, I pray right now that you may write my name in the book of life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Wash my sins away by the power of your blood. I believe in the cross. I believe in your life. I believe in your death, your resurrection, and your time that is to come. Lord, I give myself away so that you may use me. I dedicate my life to you forevermore. You are my God, you are my Savior, and you are my Heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.
That was amazing. That was awesome, Pastor Brandon. Thank you for sharing your time with me today. I know you're so busy, amen, as a police officer as well, and all the things that you do for this community, for the church, and I'm so proud. We are all rooting for you, for your success, and may the Lord finance you all the way to you, amen, being free to do full-time ministry. Amen. And I know that's coming for the glory of God.
Before you close, you're like, wait a minute, this is out of... You, I know we're usually like 30 minutes. We're over.
Yeah, we're over.
We're over. That's God okay. is good, right?
That's okay.
I want to take a second. I got to honor you, right? I got to honor TLC, the outside church, and what God is doing. They're in such an amazing season. If you're watching and you're from the outside church, look around you and see what God is doing, not just in the outside church, but collectively with his church. I want you to be encouraged, to be fired up, fueled up, to be a part of what God is doing, and to thank God for having a church that stewards such an amazing ministry like TLC, with having pastors who have a heart like my dad and my mom. I may be biased, but I'm also a living testimony of what happens behind closed doors. So I wanna also say how good of a dad you've been. I know we've never done this ever. And I'm like 20, how old am I? I'm 28 years old. Wow. But thank you for your labor. Thank you for your yes. Thank you for sowing a seed, believing in me, even when I've probably given you headaches, even when I've opened my mouth too much because I'm a talker. That's why this one's longer. but you were patient. You loved on me. And I hope to be half the man that you are and make you proud. I know at the end of the day, I'm supposed to go up to heaven and God says, my good and faithful servant. But I also want to say I can't take the credit. I want to also credit my parents, my father, for being an example in my life, because I am who I am today because of the good works of the Lord. But I've met him because of you guys. I remember looking at you with a towel in your hand, and you were younger, and you were, I was seeing people come to the altar, and I said, that's what I want to do. I didn't know what the towel meant in in the hand, but I said, I want a towel. And I guess what I meant was, I want to live a legacy like you. So I want to thank you, I want to honor you, and also what you're doing with Out of the Box. I know it's a fulfillment of many private dreams, and it's a beautiful thing to see the reach. So, and I'm just happy to be part of it.
That's awesome, man. We love you, man. Thank you so much for those kind words, and I receive it. I love to hear that. You know, I tell some people, man, share what you feel, man, with your parents and your loved ones and the people you love, man. Don't wait to share it in a funeral. I go to so many funerals and people want to say what they should have said in life. Pour into people, man. Just be a light. Tell them like it is, man. If they bless you, bless them back and let them hear it, you know, because it's empowering, it's uplifting, it's encouraging, and it just pushes you even further to do what God has called us to do. So, amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I hope that you're able to share this podcast, live podcast, amen, live stream. So share it on YouTube, share it with Facebook Live, whatever you can. You know, I'm not even telling you to finance us. Just share the message and the contents that is being put forward. Amen. So this was episode 4, The Call. And I believe you have a mighty call over your life. So Keep pushing. Keep doing what God called you to do. No matter what wall you confront or is in front of you, God will knock it down. So keep pressing forward in Jesus' name. So may the Lord keep you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord will be done in your life. And may he give you peace in every process that you're going through. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen. So thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. Out of the box, let's testify what God has done. May the Lord bless you. God bless you guys. Amen. Let's end this now.
Episode 4.
Let's go. It was awesome. Love you, man.